Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Well, hello, everybody. It's the glorious return of the Macko and Cause podcast. It's early September. I haven't seen Bob in ages, and we just said, you know what? No, we haven't seen each other in about a month. No point talking, even a little bit more than a month. No point getting caught up. Let's wait and do it all on the pod. How you doing, Bob?
I'm good, Matt. I got no complaints.
Yeah?
We were just riffing on the Beatles Revolution number 9.
Yeah.
Before we turned up the mics.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting there doing my air check.
Yep.
Number 9. And you called me Yoko.
I did.
I'm on such a Beatles deep dive right now that actually I was amused to discover that it was George Harrison who found that clip.
Oh.
In the BBC archives.
You know what's funny? I blame The Simpsons. Oh, so George Harrison found that clip of Yoko doing that.
No, it was just some random British guy in the BBC archives.
So hold on, Yoko Ono had nothing to do with it?
Well, no, she did. She just helped collect stuff. But he found that particular clip.
Yeah.
At least according to legend.
Oh.
I am so immersed in the Beatles right now because my daughter...
I was going to say that has to be because of Charlotte.
Right.
Yeah.
She's discovered them.
Yeah.
And this is the first time I've ever been able to re-enjoy something to this extent.
Yeah.
And I've just become insufferable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just awful to be around. Honestly, I think it's a good thing they're not a band now because I'd probably be into cosplay.
Ooh.
Pardon the pun.
Yeah.
Pardon the pun.
No, cosplay. COSPLAY.
With a little Beatles haircut.
Yeah.
Skinny black tie.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's a sizzling start to the podcast.
It's a hell of a start to the podcast.
Buddy, how was Croatia?
Croatia was great.
Uh-huh. You look tanned.
Yeah, well, this is also just cottage.
Right.
You know, just a combination. Croatia, it was hot. We were there during like the hottest day of the year in Croatia. But we spent it for Amy's birthday, and we spent it between two different port towns. It was great. Awesome weather. A lot of beach. A lot of just touring around. Dubrovnik is... You're walking around King's Landing. Like, the whole time...
Is it weird?
It is odd.
Were people yelling shame at you as you walked down the street?
Well, yeah, but that was in another town. That had nothing to do with... Hey, comedy's still there at 10.
Did you get the seafood tower anywhere?
I got a lot of seafood.
I bet, because it's coastal.
Yeah.
It's cheap, from what I hear.
It's cheaper than some of the other places in Europe. Absolutely. The funny thing is, the one thing I didn't want to do was one of those like tours, like all these Game of Thrones tours, because I saw them going out there and they would point to this is where this happened. I'm like, I don't want to do that. All I really want to do is just wander around and go, hey, I remember you. I didn't want to have to go on one of those tours, but the trip was great.
Were the women so attractive that it was uncomfortable to be with your girlfriend and pretend not to notice?
You saw so much thong and people that deserve to wear thongs.
Right.
After a while, honestly, you get sort of just, you get almost desensitized to it. It's just there's so much ass. Like, if you saw one of those women, like one of the European women in, you know, in the skimpy bathing suit near Lake Ontario, Muskoka, you know, that would be it. It's like, okay, this is where I'm going to be all day. Call the press, cancel everything. But after a while, you just sort of get used to it. But I see what you're saying, you know.
Because you have to do you can't not notice because then you're obviously hiding it. But if you notice too much, as to say, you know, how much you actually notice.
Yeah.
Well, that's no good either.
You got to get the porridges just right.
Northern Germany, 5-10 years ago, co-ed nude sauna.
Ooh.
Me and Sandra sitting there. Beautiful woman walks in.
Yeah.
What are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
How do you handle this one?
It's a tough call. I'm going to tell you in a second about the most embarrassing moment from Croatia, but is the tea getting ready?
It's getting ready. So quickly before I go and get it.
Yeah.
Any good wines and what was your best meal? Go.
In terms of wine, some of their local stuff is really good. Like, Croatia has got a very big, strong wine community. You just don't get very much of it here. Plavac Mali, I'm probably mispronouncing it. Incredible wine. Best meal that I had, I went on a wine tour. And on the wine tour, they took us to an oyster farm. And they pulled the oysters right from the lake. and they shucked them right there at 10:30 in the morning. It was delicious. So that might have been like one of the cool, like the best oysters I've ever had.
Is the sweetest buzz of the day the morning buzz?
Yes.
It is, right?
It's not even close.
The Wake and Bake?
Oh, yeah.
Booze edition?
The Wake and Bake, because there was some acidic white wine, and there was oysters at 10:30 in the morning. That's the way to start the day.
The key is to not get hammered, because you ruin the whole day.
Oh, yeah.
You got to just, it is your classic three and out. You got to have three glasses, and then have the discipline to say no, because then you can come back later. But if you have that fourth glass, it's
you're
over.
Done. You're it's done. Over. No one wants to be drunk at 11:30. What you want is just a little buzz. Just a little buzz to get you going. One thing I thought about you, all the children were up till like 11 o'clock midnight. Like you brought this up about how European children, like we're wandering around these towns late at night and there's families with kids that are all over the place. I'm yawning. I'm like, this kid's eating gelato. What's going on?
Okay, but here's the thing, Matt. In Europe, nobody works. The shops open late, they close down in the middle of the day, and they wrap up early.
Yeah.
When the hell does anybody do anything?
It's a good point. It's probably why
the kids have time to rest.
Yeah.
Like, what do they need to sleep for?
It's true, because we never napped when you were like 10.
We're stopped expected napping to get up at 7 and be busy all the way to like 9:30, 10 at night.
Yeah.
They don't even get started until noon.
I never thought of it like that, but it's amazing. They're all out there. So yeah, I was thinking about you and all your Italian get-togethers.
That's so true.
But let's get the main part of Croatia's story out of the way, and then we can move on.
Are we going to do any sports today?
Some. Okay. Your shameful admission. And
oh, right.
Yeah, that you tweeted about. Mm. So the girls wanted to go on a pub crawl.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay, I go on this pub crawl. It's for your birthday. And like everyone is between 24 and 28 years old, which is very weird.
In the pubs or in your party?
In the party.
Okay.
Yeah. And like, you know, it was a huge group. Like there's probably like, there's this professional pub crawl. So there was like a couple hundred people in total, just going from bar to bar to bar. And made friends with, I had my Swedish friends, my Irish friends. So it was fun. And they're all 24 to 28. And it's weird hearing them talk about, you know, what they want to do when they're out of school. And I'm like, ugh. And then at one point, I blame booze and poor lighting. I'm there with Amy, and someone comes up and says, oh, is that your father? Talking to Amy, pointing at me, and saying, is that your father?
Okay, there's a lot of things happening here, so let's unpack this.
Yeah.
First of all, that's no good.
No.
Second of all, and a distant second, Amy looks really young and vivacious.
Yeah.
So it's an insult to you, but it's also a compliment to her because she could easily pass for 10 years younger than she really is.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. She has the ebullience of a puppy.
Yeah.
So that's part of it.
Yeah.
The other thing is your soft wisp of Slazenger blonde hair is starting to fleck with gray.
Yes, it is.
Just a bit. And trust me, I'm, you know, I've been more salt than pepper for a long time, so I'm not looking down on you.
Yeah.
So there's that.
She doesn't look that much younger than me.
No, but here's the other thing, though. Guys in Europe, once they get over 50, they look great.
Yeah.
They look amazing.
Hey, there you go.
Like the average 55-year-old there looks like the average 45-year-old here or younger.
Mm-hmm.
So you do the math. You scale down Amy 10. Mm-hmm. You scale you up 10 through no fault of your own.
No.
Simply European standards.
Euro standards. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And
they have different waistlines for pants than we do.
And you could be her dad.
No, I couldn't, but that was a good try.
I did what I could.
You could. Amy was more upset about it than I was. I was laughing at it. I just thought it was funny.
I got one that's worse. I don't want to big up you here.
No, I'd like you to. That'd be great.
So I was up at my place because we got a resort up north. Like we have a unit.
You were cottaging in your cottage in cottage country.
I was cottaging quite a bit.
Yeah.
And there was this little play area there and some of the kids are running around and one of the mom's is there and I'm there and she looks over and she goes, oh, are you the grandfather?
Oh no, you got grandfather.
My kid's 10, so do the math. What do I look to you, lady? 70?
Yeah.
I mean, are you the grandfather?
It's not like you had the kid when you were 14. Oh, that is that's unfortunate. You got a grandfather. At least I got a father. You got a grandfather,
right? Oof. That's pretty bad.
That is pretty bad.
So there you go.
There you go.
What else can I tell you from the summer?
Yeah.
Oh, I should tell you. Yeah. So I tweeted out today. I said I was coming over and I have no guilty pleasures, as you know.
Yeah. Well, that's because of you know, different diets, doctors or nutritionists or naturopaths. They take all the fun.
That's true. And I lost about 25 pounds and I'm feeling real good.
Nice, congrats.
But beyond that, though, I also have no guilty pleasures in the sense that I apologize for nothing.
Yeah.
If I like it, I like it.
Yeah.
I trust my standards.
Mm-hmm.
I trust my moral compass. If I like it, it's probably okay.
There you go.
So I started doing something, and it's definitely the beginning of the end for style in me.
Okay. Oh, no.
Not only did I get Birkenstocks, as we discussed.
Oh, no.
I've started wearing them.
With socks?
With socks.
Oh, Bob.
And I love it.
Okay.
It's cozy.
I'm not even upset at you. I'm upset at Sandra. What is she, like, how is she allowing this? Like, if I joked, I had to buy sandals. I don't even own sandals. I had to buy sandals for Croatia because all the beaches, it's not sand. You're in Europe.
Yeah, so it's pebbly,
rocks,
right?
And pebbles. So I bought sandals. And I made a joke, oh, maybe I'll put some socks on as a joke. And she's like, well, I guess that's you and I breaking up. And she didn't miss a beat on that. What's going on?
Honestly,
here?
Matt, I tried it as a joke.
Yeah.
And the second my foot hit that sandal with the sock in it, I was like, oh man, I shouldn't have done this because this feels great.
Yeah.
And I couldn't unremember it. It was like wearing a sleeping bag. It was amazing. And so I took my daughter to school yesterday and I showed up in jeans, sandals, and gigantic pink socks.
Oh, poor Charlotte. Poor your wife. Poor everyone in your family. Like, let me tell you something right now, Bob. Masturbating on the subway might feel great, but I'm not going to do it. Same kind of thing as wearing socks with burka. It might feel great, but it doesn't mean you should do it.
Yeah, although really a foot inside of a socked foot inside of Birkenstock may be the exact opposite of masturbating on the streetcar.
Yeah,
it's about as wholesome as it gets.
It might be less offensive, you know, as what I would be doing on the subway. That's
I apologize for nothing.
I think you should apologize.
I love it.
Oh my God.
Because honestly, Matt, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Chasing away all my dates?
It's not about that. And listen, I get that. You know, you get to a certain age and you're with someone you love and hopefully they still love you. But hopefully they're now with you, they're Birkenstock. And, you know, the eye of the tiger isn't as strong. The testosterone goes down a little bit and you're not out there chasing skirt. I just like using that expression.
But it also goes both ways. Cassandra told me once women, generally speaking, hit about 40.
Yeah.
And they're in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's naked. Nobody cares. Like you wander around the whole place. Like you'll do seven laps of the whole place, no towel.
Yeah, that's
everybody's nude. It's like a Grecian bathhouse from 2500 BC.
See,
I don't know if those are real dates, but I just made it up.
Works for me. I don't know. I think because I don't think I'm repressed. I'm just against most.
You are.
Most forms.
You
of
are
nudity.
Repressed.
It's not about repressed.
No,
it's
you're totally repressed.
It's about aesthetic.
No.
It's
Matt.
About aesthetic.
Your aesthetic is based on your enormous repression.
Okay, let me ask
to
you.
To borrow a phrase from Cameron Ferris Bueller about Cameron Fry.
Yeah.
If you put a lump of coal up your ass, it would come out a diamond.
Yeah. A month later, it would come out as a diamond.
Is that how he said it?
Yeah. Let me ask you a question, Bob. It's just the two of us here in my condo. Let's say whatever your happiness level is right now. What if two 70-year-old dudes were Winnie the Poohing it? And they got a shirt on and nothing underneath. Would your happy level stay the same or would it go down a little bit?
Well, probably I'd be a bit concerned why there were naked 70-year-olds running around your apartment.
You get
my... But in the context of the gym,
yeah.
I know, I live and let live. I don't care.
Ugh.
They always warned you would get to a point in your life when you wouldn't sweat the small stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently what happens is you turn into a total asshole when you stop sweating the small stuff. The small stuff is the only thing that separates us from the animals, Matt.
You need to sweat the small stuff.
Without the small stuff, you know what you are?
Mm.
You're a menace.
You're a narcissistic menace.
You're a gym walking around naked, sock in the Birkenstock wearing. The small stuff keeps us sane.
Littering, burping, and farting in front of people, butting in line, all these things.
So, but I apologize for nothing.
All right.
As you know. But I have learned an important lesson about the quality of the small stuff. I've got so much to get to.
Okay.
So much. But I want to start with this question.
Yeah.
Because you sent me a text this morning as we prepare to make our plans for tonight.
Yep.
And then immediately afterwards, you said, sorry about Federer.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, just because Federer is the most beloved athlete, you know,
in the world.
In the world. Like I threw it out as a question today on my show. And the only other suggestions, there was Tiger Woods.
No chance.
Serena Williams.
She's up there.
She was up there. Steph Curry is a pretty good one. But no one's close to Federer.
Okay, so here's the thing. The difference between Federer and Steph Curry.
Team sport, individual sport.
There's that, but there's also the there are no Fed deniers. Mm-hmm. Like, there's only supporters and super supporters.
Yeah.
Nobody says he's not the GOAT. Like, even though Rafa and Djokovic over the last 2 years have generally been as good or better.
They've been better.
Right. They've been better.
They've been better.
Right.
Come on, Fed. Fed fan, admit it.
Right. As good or better. Certainly Djokovic has been better. Mm-hmm. I mean, when Nadal wins on clay.
Yeah, there's a small asterisk.
Right. Small.
Yeah.
But Djokovic absolutely has been better. But nobody will say it. As opposed to Steph Curry, people will say, it's KD. It's he's a great shooter, but if it was just him, could he pull it off?
Yeah. You know,
could he carry a team by himself? We'll find out a lot about Steph. My point about Federer is there are no truthers.
Yeah.
There's only love.
It's a good point. And man, social media last night, everyone was a bunch of grumpy galoots when Federer was losing. And let's face it, that fifth set, woof. That was, and again, it's age, it's injuries, it's all these things, but that was Federer going as meekly into the night as I have seen in ages.
Okay, now I will dispute that because I'm insane.
Okay.
For Federer.
Okay.
And it wasn't him going meekly into the night. He refused to submit.
Uh-huh.
He took his body as far as it could humanly go, proving yet again he is the greatest. Even in defeat, Matt, he is the greatest.
Bob, you turned your head and like it was like, oh, another game for Grigor Dimitrov, whatever the guy's name is.
Doesn't matter.
It was a
number 78.
It was a fast fifth set.
He fell apart.
Yeah.
He fell apart.
He's injured. He's old. It's going
to
happen.
Yeah. I've been trying to figure out why people love him so much. I think part of it is because, obviously, the greatness.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, you almost never get that level of greatness with that level of dignity.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you look at around in the sports, most of the people who are great are kind of assholes.
Yeah.
And even the ones who aren't sort of are, but we just don't want to admit it. Like, is Gretzky a good guy?
Is
Mario a good guy? I don't know.
But I haven't heard a lot of bad about them. There's some athletes...
Because nobody will say anything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, there's some athletes that have a whiff of it. Or like, for instance, no one wants to criticize LeBron, even though, you know, trying to trademark Taco Tuesday.
Are you kidding? Half of Twitter criticizes him and the other half defends him.
Oh, no. If you rip LeBron now, then social media is going to come after you.
Yeah, I guess that's probably true of the current players. But there's a lot of people, if you try to compare him to Jordan,
then they get angry. But no, with Federer, it's always been with class. It's been dominant for so long. It looked like he was done in his early 30s, and he was able to come back again. You've never heard anything bad. And let me throw out one thing. And this might seem like sexist or something. I just had this thought. Do you think part of it is because his wife isn't like some sort of like crazy supermodel? You know, because like I think some people, they go, oh, famous person. Now they got to hook up with a famous Brazilian supermodel. But Federer, he's been with the same woman for ages, and they just look like a normal couple.
He's the anti-Tiger. Mm-hmm. Whereas Tiger was almost like a super-powered Hollywood producer where he needed all the accoutrements to prove how great he was.
Yeah.
He was so hyper-competitive. Everything was a competition. There was nowhere in his life that wasn't about Tiger getting everything Tiger wanted all the time.
Yeah.
If that meant lots of prostitutes, well, I guess I'm going to need a new cell phone to manage the number of all of these prostitutes.
Yeah.
And you don't get that from him. So I don't know if it's necessarily her attractiveness. It probably does factor in because we're so used to women. Like, there's a whole subculture in England dedicated to the wives of players.
We even
have it here. There's TV shows about the wives of players. Like,
so weird.
You know, there is...
And you put an athlete's name in Google, and as you're typing it, the first thing that comes up is either like salary or wife or girlfriend. I'm like, I don't care who they're dating.
And also, like, she is genuinely his partner in all things.
Yeah.
Like, she's a former tennis player. I don't think she was ever pro, but you can tell that that's... When you've been in a couple as long as you and I have, you can tell when someone's a couple and someone just doesn't feel like breaking up because it's complicated.
That could be it. That's always an uncomfortable dinner.
Right?
Oh,
you spend that time with that couple, you're like, you don't even like each other anymore. It's just, you're so in, like, it's the Macbeth factor. It would be just as hard to get out as it would be to keep going. I might as well keep going.
Sorry, Duncan. I'm going to keep going. Shakespeare joke. on a tangent.
Topical.
Yeah. on a bit of a tangent. Have you ever fought with Sandra while you were out with other people?
God, no.
Yeah.
No.
Good.
No.
Like, does it ever confuse? Like, it happens rarely. But if you're ever out at a party or when you're with a small group and a couple is now more than, like, there's uncomfortable bicker. And that in itself still makes me, I tense up. But, like, the true sort of, these people are angry at each other. Like, have the repressed dignity of keeping it to yourself until you're on your own.
So the guy's like Steve Buscemi doing the speech at the wedding singer. Yeah,
exactly, huh?
Never even one lesson there, Pop.
Greatest guitarist in the world.
Yeah, it's the worst. I think one of the signs of maturity is you learn how to shut up till you get to the car.
Yeah.
And that's true in all things, whether it's your relationship or in the office.
Yeah.
Honestly, you know what? It's a good time to show everyone what you feel? Never.
Never.
And certainly not till the next day.
Yeah.
Get to the car.
Yeah.
You know, bite your arm if you have to, whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Just get to the car.
Yeah. By the way, it looks like the girls are here. Do you want me? I'll give a quick read if you want to give a hug.
Yeah, I'm going to give a quick hug to
you.
Everybody.
Give a hug.
I'll be right
back. Listen, if I was going to give a hug to anyone that isn't these people, I would give a hug to my lawyer, Jeff Pollock. The man's fantastic. In fact, I saw him more over the last month and change than I did Bob. This guy is a fantastic lawyer. This guy's been doing it for ages. And if you ever need a lawyer, I cannot stress this enough. Your life will be easier. Your life will be better because at some point you're going to need a lawyer. Our lawyer is Jeff Pollock. His email, or if you want to contact him, the website is jeffpollock.com. That's jeffpollock.com. Jeff with a G. The phone number, 416-777-0088. That number again, 416-777-0088. The guy is fantastic and his family is lovely. So shout out to Sasha, to Daniel, to Elizabeth and all the kids.
This is going to shock you, Matt.
Yeah.
I haven't finished my will yet. We started the process about 11 months ago.
Something around there, yeah.
Made it to one meeting.
Yeah.
But I did email back.
Ooh.
And so we were back on track again.
Way to do below the bare minimum. That is. So what's going to happen first? You die or your will is done?
Well, like, there's no way to know. But the smart money is on.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, da, da,
oh. da, 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 all right, moving da, on. Da, da. What a depressing topic.
You're the one who brought it up.
I know.
All right, let's do some sports.
Okay,
I guess sports. We did. Was this Federer account of sports? Oh,
yes.
I had a random, not a hot take, but just sort of one of my esoteric little musings.
Yeah.
You know what occurred to me? Tennis is the opposite of baseball right now.
Okay.
In that tennis is carried by three stars and absolutely nobody else. And the only reason anybody pays attention is because of the quality of the superstar at the top of the food chain.
Yep.
Three on the male side, one on the female side.
Yep.
Baseball is filled with an unbelievable number of great players under the age of 25.
Mm-hmm.
And including Mike Trout, who's not under 25, but still in his prime.
Yeah.
And might go down as the greatest player who ever lived.
Yep.
So they have nothing but stars. And nobody cares because of that. Like, there are, baseball has everything tennis could ask for in terms of tons of talent to spread around.
Yep.
And nobody cares.
No one cares.
And it's the weirdest thing.
It's because it's a region. Baseball's a regional game.
Is that what it is?
It's baseball. The only time the entire continent cares about baseball. Hell, it might not even be the first round. It might be the second round of the playoffs.
Are you tuning in because the Braves are playing and you just got to see Ronald Acuna bat?
No, not at all.
Right. Like,
no.
Who is?
Beyond fantasy baseball psychos and sports hipsters who choose baseball over basketball or hockey or football, no one. No one is. You know, I don't care, with what's going on with the Mets and the recent collapses and Pete Alfonso, the great rookie, or all these other guys.
Isn't it Alonso?
Alonso. Might be Alonso. We'll go with Alonso.
Yeah, whatever.
Sure.
It doesn't matter. If they're not in the playoffs, who cares?
No. I mean, now if they're facing the Blue Jays, now I'll sort of care. But I only
care.
They've
been kind of fun to watch lately.
No, but they never win. Like, you know what the funny thing is?
They're like the Leafs in their gap year.
Yeah. But like, isn't every now and then, wouldn't a win be nice? You know, like, just they.
No.
But they,
no,
but they,
you want to lose every game 6-5. So that you get the highest draft pick you possibly can.
Yeah, but baseball's not the same as other sports.
Justin Verlander just no-hit us. Where was he drafted? Number 2 overall.
Yeah, I know, but I can I can push back the other way. All the great players that I'm drafted in the first round.
It's true, but your odds do go up the higher you go. There aren't a lot of busts in the first two or three picks.
But just every now and then in baseball, who's pitching? And Charlie Montoyo says, I don't know. It's going to be an opener and some guy. And then it's Font and Zoink. I mean, the Blue Jays pitchers.
Are those real names?
Yes. The Blue Jays pitchers sound like the Font.
From a Marvel comic?
From Batman and Robin. Like when Batman, when 1960s Zoink. Batman is punching the Joker, it's Zoink and then Font.
That's funny. Who's coming out of the pen? It's Thoom.
Yeah, and then Kablam. And there might be a Kablam.
You got to save that joke for your show.
Yeah.
That's a good one, actually.
It's a good one.
Jot that one down.
Put that away.
Okay, so anyway, that was my little silly tennis and musing baseball. Tennis and baseball. Yep. I want to ask you about football because you know way more about football than I do. But obviously the big news today is that Ezekiel Elliott signs with the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes, he did.
Highest paid running back in the league.
Yep.
And obviously the cornerstone of that franchise. I thought it was interesting that Jared Goff also just signed with the LA Rams.
Mm-hmm.
And his extension, like his guaranteed cash, is the highest amount of guaranteed cash, I believe, for any quarterback.
Yeah.
Who is more likely to have a happy tenure from this point on? Ezekiel Elliott with the Cowboys or Jared Goff with the Rams?
It's Goff. It's Goff just because of the position, you know, quarterback versus running back.
Although if he sucks or if he's even okay, like
Goff had a really good year
last
year.
He's got to win now.
You know, the problem is he had a horrible Super Bowl and he didn't play as well when CJ Kupp went down. But also the thing that Goff's got going for him, he's got Sean McVay. He's right. Got a great coach. They got some good weapons there. We'll see about Todd Gurley and his knee. The end of last year was strange with that fella. But to me, I'm going the obvious choice. I'm going with Goff.
Okay. Are the Cowboys going to be happy?
The Cowboys are going to be
it's
happy.
It's a big bet for a running back.
Yeah. The Cowboys are going to be happy this year. Can I throw out something to you?
Okay, please do.
The Ezekiel Elliott signing is one of the most interesting ones because he pulled an NBA. He had 2 years left on his deal, and he caboed his way out of the to get an extension, even though he had 2 years left. That's something that superstars do in the NBA. You rarely see it in the NFL, especially with the position of running back. And I was thinking about this. Is this going to change the way running backs negotiate deals? Maybe. But this one's a little bit different because the greatest negotiating thing you can have, the greatest leverage you can have as a player is having great talent. Great talent means Tyreek Hill gets drafted in the second round, even though he had domestic abuse issues in college and he's still playing today. And talent means you'll always get a second chance. But I think with Ezekiel Elliott, there's one thing that was more of a factor than his talent. Jerry Jones's mortality. He's 76 years old. Jerry Jones has said, I don't care about it making another $1 billion. I want to win another Super Bowl. When Jerry Jones, 25, 26 years ago, when he was 50, he played hardball with Emmett Smith until week 3 of the season. The Cowboys signed him before the start of the season, and Dallas, you know who they open up the season with? The Giants, the Redskins, and the Dolphins. The three worst teams in football. Dallas easily could have been, nope, we're going to wait. But they didn't. And I think it's because Jerry Jones realizes he doesn't have too many training camps left in him.
That's a really interesting thought. It reminded me of Mike Ilitch and his spending spree with the Tigers, I guess, going back about 5 or 6
years.
And everybody said, like, he's old and he just wants to win.
Yeah.
And when you don't have a cap, knock yourself out.
Keep spending.
So that's a really interesting thought. And are other people making that point, or is that a Matt Cause special?
Oh, this was a Matt Cause special.
Nice. Did you run with it?
Oh, I bust that out. I busted that out today.
Did you get applauded for it?
Oh, yeah.
Were you celebrated?
It was it was well thought out. And here's another point. Dallas lost in the playoffs to the Rams. The Rams, you know the Rams beat them with? C.J. Anderson, who had 124 yards in that playoff game. The backup running back that they paid nothing for. And so did Dallas go, oh, wow, yeah, I guess you don't need to spend a lot of money in a salary cap sport on the running back. Let's spend that money on linemen, pass rushers, corners. So their last game, they got beat by a backup running back, and they still give Ezekiel Elliott the highest valued contract in the history of the NFL for a running back. Weird, and I think it's a lot about mortality.
All right. I really like that take.
Yeah, yeah.
Take a bow, Maddie.
Yeah, thank you.
Take a bow.
That's all I got.
Got any other solutions for things out there?
Oh, God, that would be fantastic. I'm thinking of
don't waste it on the Cowboys.
No. Oh, God. No. I'm thinking of muting Trudeau, Scheer, and a lot of other words between now and the election.
Really?
On my Twitter account, there's just so much yelling going on. And it's like, if I want to look stuff up and just, get informed, as I will before the election, I'm thinking of muting some of those words. So that's maybe one of my solutions for social media.
I don't think we're going to get nearly as angry as the states do.
Oh, not even close.
Right?
Yeah. God, no. Thank God.
It feels like if you want to get really mad, you need Maxime Bernier. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the kid that gets super mad.
Remind me to throw him on the list as well. Yeah. Right? God, thank God.
I actually was on the Green Party website today trying to figure out why they're polling at 10%.
Yeah.
The NDP is such a mess right now.
The Green Party's always been. It's a shame. Going back to football.
Yeah, buddy.
You know a team I think has the most pressure on them?
No.
It's always a classic question. It's the Saints. The last 2 years in a row.
Is this a Drew Brees thing?
Well, it is. It's partially a Brees thing because of his age. And Brees, his numbers late in the year, they really tailed off.
Because of the freaky loss to the Vikings?
The freaky loss to the Vikings 2 years ago, the Stephon Diggs catch, the Minnesota miracle. And then last year, the non-pass interference call. The Saints have had two crippling playoff losses. I think it was Bill Simmons or Sal. One of them brought it up. I'm like, oh, my God, that's right. Because we focused on the loss to the Rams. We forgot the year before when, Minnesota, I think it was Case Keenum to Stephon Diggs. Like, for the Saints, tick-tock, guys. The clock is, it's almost done.
It's like the opposite of the Tampa Bay Lightning situation. Mm. They're both really talented, but the Lightning blew it.
Yeah.
Like Peter Fonda at the end of Easy Rider, we blew it.
Yep.
And you can't say that about the Saints. They did everything except win.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it took some kind of act of God / the universe / randomness to take them out both times.
Yeah.
So if they were to get their asses kicked in again, how does history look at this? A great team that was thwarted, or is it more like the Buffalo Bills, where it's sort of like a great team that wasn't really
great enough? I think just a great team that was a victim of history.
Yeah.
I think that's the way. And the Tampa Bay is a good one to look at it. One of the greatest regular seasons, they got swept. The year before, they were up 3-2 against Washington, and then they lost game 6 and 7, getting outscored 7-0.
Yeah, I was thinking about hockey. Mm-hmm. Recently, because it's about that time, right?
Yes, it is.
Training camp for broadcasters.
Yes.
Agostino. Got to get your reps in, man.
Yeah. Lilligren. Now, is it Rasmus Sandin? Is it Rasmus Sandin?
Sandin.
You know, Sandin, isn't it? Sandin. Wait a minute. Did I say Sundin? Oh, no. Now I'm confused. Yeah.
You nailed Lilligren.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, had an extra year with that one.
Yeah. You redshirted it.
Yeah. I've just got Bianca Andreescu down. So.
Isn't it Andreescu?
No, it's Andreescu.
Is it Andreescu?
Yeah, don't okay. Do that to me.
Honestly, Matt, I don't know.
I don't fully know either, but now you're going to create insecurity.
A blossom of doubt.
I'm not going to
like a bit of code that was put into your DNA.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I malwared you.
Yeah.
Ugh. Sorry about that.
No worries.
But I was thinking about hockey, and I was thinking about the Leafs and Dubas's conversation with Bob McKenzie.
Mm-hmm.
And
did they speak the other day?
Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah. Little chat, little fireside. early September.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to get some play.
Yeah.
Patience was the big word.
Yep.
And of course it is, because you have to put some kind of restrictor plate on the expectations of the fan base that are starting to see. This is the year that if they lose in the first round, people start getting mad.
And they should, right? They should be mad.
But what does patience exactly mean? Because if they make the second round, people are going to be very excited.
Yes, they will.
If they don't make the second round, people are going to be very mad.
Yes.
So where does patience fit into that equation? Patience for what?
It doesn't really fit in.
It doesn't, does it? No. Well, it's like the real answer is it's now or never, or we need to start making big changes. Big changes.
If you want to do the pushback against being angry, there's one really easy argument. The Atlantic. You've got, in the division alone, Tuukka Rask, Vasilevskiy, Carey Price, Bobrovsky.
Yeah, there was a top 10 list that came out the other day. And I think, what was it, 4 of the goalies were in the Atlantic?
Well,
Tampa Bay and Boston didn't get worse.
No, and Tampa Bay and Boston are the secret weapon they have, there's no bad contracts. All the contracts are either fair or, wow, is that guy, that's a team-friendly deal.
Montreal will be probably okay. Florida has to get better.
Yep.
So it's just going to be tougher. It's going to be tougher to rack up points. And, you know, somebody like a Zach Hyman not in the lineup, Travis Dermott, those things all matter.
Yeah.
Plus, there's a lot of new faces, man. Like, we're so obsessed with Marner that we're not paying attention. Like, I was thinking about this. It just dawned on me the other day. Kadri.
Yep.
Gardner.
Yep.
Along with Riley are the three longest serving Leafs. Two of them are now gone.
Zaitsev gone, who played well with Muzzin.
And played a lot. Marleau, yep. Same thing, right?
Connor Brown was a versatile guy who could play on different lines. And their assistant coach is out, new coach is in.
Right, and so those guys ate a lot of minutes. Mm-hmm. So it's not just new faces. It's going to be people taking important roles over because the minutes are going to be there.
Yep.
So I guess my point is, I wouldn't call it a transitional year. But maybe I should. Like, you've replaced most of the coaching staff, plus the head coach has been put on notice. He's been given a completely different style playing team. Most of the players he really like have been shipped out in honor of players who he doesn't like a Nick Patan. That's going to be another fight waiting to happen. How many of these fights are waiting to happen? You know, most of his contract's been paid out. Babcock's has had. So we know he's on a short rope. So I guess my point is, systematically, changes, roster-wise, changes. Why are we so convinced that this is a year forward?
Because it has to be. And it has to be because Marner, Matthews, Nylander are all at the ages where all the young stars won Stanley Cups.
Yeah, but they're all getting paid. And there's no difference between this year and next year.
Mm-hmm. But they're now...
Not for those guys.
They're now a year older. Morgan Riley is only 25. He is hitting the peak of his career.
Yeah, but Gardner was incredibly important to that blue line.
The Leafs have
gone.
A better defense this year than they did last year.
Maybe, but who's the third pairing?
Who's the third pairing? The third pairing?
We don't know.
Well, I mean, you full year Jake Muzzin. You bring in Tyson Barrie. You know, Cody Ceci, I think, will do better here than he did last year with Ottawa. This, and also Travis Dermott, a year older when he comes back after a month.
You're
this
assuming
is gonna be
after
a
an
deal.
Incredibly long injury that a young defenseman is going to jump right in and be a contributor
right on
an elite team.
Who do you think? What do you think is a better defense? This year's Leafs on paper or last year's defense on the ice?
I would say probably this year's, mm-hmm. but not by a country mile.
No, I'm not saying by a country
and
mile.
And they weren't that good
but
last
it's better.
Year. But they were not good enough last year.
I know they were.
Right. And so they improved slightly. And yep. I think that they're positioned to do better in the future. Mm-hmm. Here's the ultimate point I'm trying to make.
Yeah.
Dubas is preaching patience.
Yep.
And he's right to. But nobody has time for that bullshit.
No.
Nobody wants to hear it and nobody buys into it. But I think he's right. I don't think this is the year for them. I think it's probably next year.
How many teams have, and you don't have to give a specific answer. How many teams clearly have more talent than the Maple Leafs?
Clearly?
Tampa?
In the division or across hockey?
The entire NHL. Clearly Tampa.
Let's just say, for argument's sake, the Leafs are in the top 6 to 8 teams in the league.
Most people I talked to said they're top 5.
Yeah,
that
maybe.
They're top 5 in terms of talent. That Tampa is clearly more. A lot of people throw out San Jose. And then afterwards, everyone's like, I guess maybe Boston. And then they started to, you know, waffle a little bit.
There's a couple key things that have to happen this mm-hmm. year. Austin Matthews has to take a jump up,
yep.
which I think he's going to. Mm-hmm. I've thrown out that Nathan MacKinnon thing before in the past where MacKinnon was always great, but there was another level he hit after, I guess it was 3 or 4 years in the league. I can't remember which exactly. But anyway, we kind of hope that Matthews is going to become dominant.
Yeah.
Not just terrific, but dominant. I think Freddie Anderson's a question mark.
Freddie Anderson was
a good goalie.
He was good. And oftentimes he was great last year, just late in the year, tailed off.
Yeah, but that's the gig.
I know it's the gig.
Right? That's the gig. So we don't know if he's that guy because he's never been that guy. And even going back over the course of his career, he hasn't been that guy. So we're expecting him. I always have question marks whenever the plan consists of somebody doing something they've never done before, given several opportunities.
At some point, though, you have to do it.
Or you never do. And that might be an option, too, man.
I just look at some basic facts. The Leafs are somewhere between the 3rd and 6th most talent in the NHL. Mike Babcock, highest paid and one of the best coaches in the NHL. The Leafs' defense is a little bit better than it was last year. All these young guys are hitting what everyone in analytics will tell you are peak years. Morgan Riley is at peak. John Tavares is at peak. And if I look at all of that together, that's unemotional opinions. And William Nylander, I think, here's a hot take. He's going to have a better year this year than he had last year. I throw that all in there with the assumption that the young fella at the wing who hasn't signed yet, that he eventually signs. I throw that all out there. Why should I not have sky-high expectations?
Okay, so
that's my kind of, why should I not have them?
All right, so let's go back through this. Mm-hmm. The health issues around Austin Matthews, we assume he's going to be healthy, but he hasn't been so far. He hasn't been really healthy, the way you would like your best player to be. He's missed a bunch of games.
Yes, he has.
And I'm assuming he's fine, but who knows?
Yeah.
Because if he keeps getting banged up and missing 20 games a year, then we're going to start going, well, you know.
If he misses 20 games this year, then it's going to definitely be, it's going to be part of the paragraph in the first paragraph in his bio.
Not yet an asterisk, but maybe a proviso.
Yeah. I'm good with that.
William Nylander, I think, will be better, but how much better? Mm-hmm. Because he was pretty mediocre last year.
He was.
Right? At best. He showed flashes, but is better mean 55 points? Because they're paying him like he needs to be 70 plus.
I think he gets minimum. And this, again, everything's on
also how they use him matters.
Yeah. 65. I think 65 points at least. He's on the first line, and him and Matthews are humming.
I'm not exactly going to worry about the top two lines because they are so stacked and so good.
Yeah.
It would be stupid. Other than like the health of every player, they're great.
Yeah.
Line three, on the other hand, Kadri has been a very good player for them, even though his numbers dropped off last year. And I agree with the move because I think they would have continued to drop off. Let's not forget that during the ascension of this team to being a top 3 to 6, in your words, he's been a 30-goal-a-season guy.
Yep.
Is Kerfoot going to be a 30-goal-a-season guy?
No.
No. So he's who not. Is he? Who is he? We don't know. We don't know.
We have Kerfoot, Spezza. Well, I use the we. I think Janssen and Kapanen, at least one of those two gets a bit better.
Maybe.
And having Tyson Barrie gives the Leafs something they haven't had. A second legit, like Tyson Barrie's a better defenseman than Jake Gardner. Not miles better, but he's a better defenseman than Jake Gardner.
We'll have to see. I don't know that yet, but these are question marks. And I guess my point is you're making a very compelling case for why this addition of the team would be at least as good as last year's. Last year's lost in the first round.
Yeah.
That's my point, is I don't look at this team and go, wow, they are so much better. It's not like the Raptors went out and got Kawhi and you go, holy shit, they just traded DeMar for Kawhi.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't done anything like that.
Nope.
Last year was the big move when they pulled in Tavares and you said, oh my God, that second line center situation is nuts.
Yep.
But they didn't do that this year. So all I'm saying is when Dubas goes out there and preaches patience, it's because he probably knows there's more moves that need to be done.
But he has to do that.
I know.
Find me a GM that doesn't preach patience.
I understand. But the joke is he's right and nobody's buying it.
What? And you're right. That's
the point.
Your thesis is 100% correct. Absolutely. He's preaching something and all of us are like, get out of here. let me ask you this. And the question I'm going to ask you, you definitely reserve the right to change this answer.
Okay.
As of today, what are your expectations for the Maple Leafs?
I think they'll make the conference final.
Okay. So out of all that, you think they're going to win two rounds?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I do. Because I expect more good things to happen than bad things.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think there's a version where they get beaten out in the first round again.
Of course.
And it's the stupid playoff seeding. And if they have to play like a Tampa Bay or a Boston again in the first round, well, then you have to say there's a pretty good chance they'll lose.
Yeah.
Because those teams are at least as good or maybe a little better right now.
God, it's going to be so annoying in game 64 of the season when we're already talking about how will the Leafs do game 7 in Boston. Right.
It's going to be
inevitable.
It's going to be Christmas music in the malls and we're going to be talking about the upcoming Bruins season.
Yeah.
And series.
I remember last year, people got pissed off at me on Twitter after the Leafs won game 5 to go up 3-2. I just tweeted out, we all know this is going 7, right? And then everyone was angry at me.
I remember
that,
actually.
And then the Leafs lost. Everyone got angry at me again.
I remember there was the game 6 debacle.
Yeah.
And that cause ruined everything for everybody.
Yeah, well, I have in the past, usually not playoffs.
My big question for the year.
Yeah.
Isn't about coaching or even roster,
because
I think all that's going to get sorted out in the wash. It's the goalie.
Yeah.
I think if Freddie Anderson can give you real good playoff goaltending through 2 or 3 rounds, they can ride that. Because let's not forget, they lost game 7 and Anderson stunk out the joint.
He did.
As Mike Babcock so elegantly pointed out during his wrap-up presser.
Yeah. He really, really fell on
the save.
Really fell on the sword there, Babcock. Jesus Christ.
Oh, the blame begins with me.
But yeah, and then it's immediately, well, there's all these other coaches that didn't make the playoffs. Anderson, his save percentage went down in the second half, and that's what he has to improve on. Part of that is the defense in front of him has got to get better. I don't think many goalies had a harder...
And the backup goalie situation's unresolved.
Yeah. You know, my big concern with the Maple Leafs is in the final 44 games of the season, the Leafs had 20 wins.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, but you just expect this team to be better. And he just, one thing is young guys get better. Talented guys get better.
I hope they just get angrier.
Mm-hmm.
I hope Matthews looks around and says, you know what? F this.
Yeah.
I'm going to just ring up 60 goals and I'm going to get into the playoffs. And at the end of it, everybody's going to be talking about me.
Yeah.
And only me.
Love it.
I don't want any more pals.
Yep.
I don't want any more, you know, video game / iPhone commercials with all your buddies. Matthews, you show up, mm-hmm. you look at everybody, you hold a picture of you, and you say, you know who this is? Mm. It's the guy.
Yeah.
Get me the puck.
Yeah. I'm the one who knocks.
Exactly. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
That's our name for Auston Matthews this year.
Yeah.
The one who knocks.
The one who knocks. Love it.
In goals.
And oh, I like what you did there.
Yeah,
good.
You can
pause.
Use that one on your show.
Okay,
you
it's okay. I'll let you keep that one.
Thanks, Bob.
also, there's more pressure on the team for a reason that's totally none of their doing.
What?
The Raptors won.
I know.
You know, it's like, okay, we saw them do it. You guys have lots of talent. You guys have had playoff failures. The Raptors had playoff failures. They had lots of talent. They win it all. Go do what they did.
I'm going to make an admission here.
Mm.
I don't have guilty pleasures, as we discussed as with we the discussed sock issue.
Birken socks and.
But I don't need the Leafs to win now.
Yeah, I can see that.
I did before. There was a burning need as a Toronto sports fan to celebrate a championship. The Argos didn't do it for me. TFC was fun, but it just wasn't enough.
Yeah.
But with that Raptors insanity, like I was so exhausted at the end of it that if it took the Leafs another 10 years to win a cup, I'm okay with that.
I don't know if I'm going 10 years.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. You know, like it's post-coital. And you're like, you know what? I don't need an erection right now. We're good. We're all good here right now.
The Matt Cause theory that the most visited website immediately after masturbation is ESPN.
ESPN, yeah. I've always wanted to know what is the website that people go to directly afterwards. Is it still ESPN? Is it Twitter? I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Man. So funny.
Someone get on that study. Here's all I need. I need a first round win. I need a first round win because I don't want to do that narrative from late April until the following September.
No, you're right. You're right. But the thing is, if they lose in the first round or, you know, God forbid, they don't make the playoffs.
Oh,
it's an easy thing that happens next.
Mm-hmm.
Babcock's fired.
Babcock's
gone. And they bring in somebody else who's awesome.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Sheldon Keefe
or somebody else. If somebody becomes available, that's real good.
Yep.
And they just recalibrate.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, it's
there
true.
Is one more stage to, I don't know what to do to fix this.
Yeah. Well, it's like the, I forget, famous Russian political story where, you know, the new czar gets in and he's told to write two envelopes. And, you know, in one of them, the czar who's leaving gives the new czar two envelopes. And he says, the first time you get in trouble, open the first envelope. And then the second time you get in trouble, open the second envelope. So the new czar opens the first envelope after he got into a big scandal. And it says, blame me for everything. So that's what the previous czar said. He says, all right. So the new czar blames the old czar. Everything's fine. Then he gets in trouble again later on down the road. He opens up the second envelope. In the second envelope, the message says, write two messages and put them in an envelope. Basically, I screwed up that joke
a
little bit.
No, but it was a good story, though. I think that was back in the USSR.
By
the Beatles.
No, it was in some political movie from like the late 90s, early 2000s.
That's good. It sounds like something like, what's that Philip Seymour Hoffman movie?
Oh.
Not Charlie Wilson's War.
Yeah, Charlie Wilson's War. Yeah, it could have been
like
that.
It could have been in that because it feels like an Aaron Sorkin.
Yes, it does feel very Sorkin. By the way, underrated movie. Good film.
Really good.
Yeah, and God.
Didn't remember it, but really good.
Oh, yeah. Philip Seymour Hoffman was good in that. Getting off sports for a second.
Sure.
Did you see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
I haven't.
Now, okay.
I didn't see anything, Matt. You know what I did this summer?
Mm-hmm.
I went granola.
Yeah.
All I did was work out, diet, go to yoga, and take my daughter to various social functions. And
that's you said,
I did.
Are you a member of like the Real Housewives of Toronto? Like that sounds, you know.
I put all my work aside.
Yeah.
I start again tonight, actually. This is my big return to the work world.
Big return to the world.
But for about that's 6 weeks, I just said, I am going to take this break.
Yeah.
Georgie went to LA.
Yep.
We have some stuff to do, but it wasn't.
And of course, you can't reveal it, can you?
No.
So important. Can't reveal the big stuff
well,
you're
because
doing.
Because it's not just us involved, Matt. There are other partners. There are other people. And until and also, I'm not one. I've learned over the years, until something is done, shut up about it. Well, maybe a slip twixt the cup and the lip.
Here's a reveal. Mark Rowe is going to join my show tomorrow live from New York to talk about the U.S. Open.
Oh, nice.
Hey, how was the first?
Former intern on
Off the Record intern.
Good kid.
Good kid. Doing good stuff. Doing
great
really good
kid.
Stuff.
Love him.
How was first day of school for Charlotte? Was she happy? Nervous? What was her and what was your guys' emotions?
All right. So everything went well because she liked the teacher. And this is one of the happy stories from the Ford Cuts.
Yeah.
Pretty much every grade four in the school is all in one class now.
There you go.
So when you say like, hey, are you in the same class as your friends? Yes.
Yes.
Because they're all in one class.
There you go, Doug. Being efficient.
Wait, thank you, Doug. That was great.
Saving
a lot of people would
money.
Say that many kids in a classroom is not good for education.
They would say that. They'd be correct.
That's, well, you know, it's not making her less happy, though.
Okay, that's good. So your household's a Ford household.
We're exactly.
Get out of here, West End Phoenix. We're a Doug Ford household. Sorry, Dave Bedini.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
So she had a first day because I was thinking about it because my twin brother Josh, his kids, Graydon and Elliot, they spent the summer like a month and a half up at the cottage. Mm. They went to camp and then they went back to the cottage. So to go from that world to now suddenly going back to school, they weren't enthusiastic about school.
Well, it's a lot to ask.
It is a lot to ask.
You know, I don't think there should be any summer vacation, to tell you the truth.
Oh, the Japanese or Chinese model where there may be some breaks here or there, but there's no
100%.
Extended time off.
Way better.
Let me ask you,
for everyone.
Let me ask you a question.
Summer's hard on parents, man.
That's where I was going. This feeling you have now about there should be no like summer off for the kids like that. If I asked 16-year-old Bob Mackiewicz, think he'd have the same opinion?
I don't know. 16-year-old Bob Mackiewicz is probably too high to come up with much of a thought on that.
Yeah. Huh?
Oh, by the way, my daughter
went
out and bought a pair of, she's got Doc Martens, and her plan for the first day of school was to stand in front of the class and sing, "We Don't Need No Education" to the new teacher.
There you go.
Yeah.
Nice. So, by the way, Doug Ford would agree. Ayo! Callback. Political humor.
That was pretty good, man.
Thank you.
You know, like,
thank you very much.
You're on a roll. I got a new parenting philosophy.
Ooh, okay.
It suddenly dawned on me because, you know,
by the way.
There are way too many kids in the class.
Yep.
And I'm not, like, it's easy to worry about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of biologically, you're predisposed to doing just that.
Yep.
Because you're in charge of this little kid.
Yeah.
It's your gig. But this is the year where I thought, you know what? The school, like the education may suck. You may get into fights with all your friends. But the key, bring a book.
Mm.
That is the key to getting through school. Bring a book.
I like it.
Your class is filled with idiots?
Yeah.
Sit there and read something you like.
Just sit there. Yeah.
You know? Everybody out there is passing notes and tattling and doing all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Bring a book.
It's a good philosophy.
Yeah, I felt really good about it. I might actually write a book called Bring a Book.
Ooh, that's very meta.
Yeah.
Did I use meta correctly there?
I think you did.
I feel like I never do when I hear if someone's like, ooh, that's very meta. I just nod my head and go, yes, you
not
are
even
right.
Sure it is. Hey, I got a story for you.
Yep.
I got two stories.
Wait, before your story, I got a story for you.
Oh, is it a seat giant kind of story?
Thanks for shitting on us, Bob.
Well, Matt,
once
on,
there was like, a time when...
Matt, every single time you're about to do a read, you sit up about 3 inches taller. Your face gets this big grin
It's a tell. It's a tell. But once upon a time, there was someone who needed a concert ticket or a sporting event ticket, but they had a problem. Every time they ordered tickets, they thought they were the tickets weren't as expensive because they were in American money. And that person was so sad. Then they went to SeatGiant.ca, which is a Canadian-owned and operated company, and every ticket is in Canadian dollars, and they stand behind the customer experience. Then they were happy. But then the person was like, I wonder if I could save some money. And they did. Do you know how, Bob? They went to the discount code. They typed in Bob and Matt at checkout. It saved them money. We get a small kickback, which is great because Audio Boom ain't free. Got to pay a little bit every month. So they save money. We got a little bit of money. It was win-win. You should go to seatgiant.ca.
I got two stories about food.
Yep.
Well, not so much stories, but just more like observations.
Yeah.
Do you want the angry one or the lamentation one?
We'll go angry first, and then we'll end the pod with lamentation because we got 4 minutes.
Okay. So me and a buddy go to Fresh at Crawford and Queen the other day.
Yeah.
And they tell us, like, I get there first. And the guy says to me, okay, but I should let you know before you sit down, it's a 50-minute wait for food.
Oh.
50.
50.
50.
Yeah.
And I said, wow, that's really a long time. Why so long? And he goes, well, the kitchen's really slammed. And the place was half empty. Half empty. Half empty.
Staffing.
Right. And I thought to myself, okay, well, that's just vegans.
Yep.
Because they move slow. But yep. No, my wife brought up an interesting point, which is, no, that's Uber Eats. That's Foodora.
Right.
There, it was lunchtime.
Oh, you're right. They were slammed
trying to prepare all the food that's being picked up and sent out. And it suddenly dawned on me, Matt,
yeah,
that the future of the restaurant is not about sitting in. It's just having enough of a brand that you can justify a guy on a mountain bike pulling up with a gigantic cube
yeah.
on his back to start handing off meals to people in their cubicles.
Oh, my God. And also, like, just think about this again. Just, it's the death, the internet and on-demand and ease and comfort. It's the death of empathy. It's like people are not going to go out as much. They're not going to encounter humans as much face-to-face. It's a very bad thing.
See, if it was like a fancy place and you were there for dinner mm-hmm. and you were expecting to spend like 2-3 hours and it was like a sit-down dinner,
yeah.
I don't think that would have been an issue.
Yeah.
But it's the kind of place you sit down, you have a reasonably quick meal, and you head back out. Also, it's the kind of food that people love to get sent to their desks.
Yeah.
So my friend and I actually wondered, we didn't do this, but we should have. Would the food have come faster if we would have sat on a bench in front of the restaurant
right.
and phoned it in
yeah.
and had them literally walk outside 4 feet and hand it to us? How much faster would we have gotten the food that way versus sitting in the restaurant?
Oh, that would have been a great experiment. Now we're out of time.
Now, well, I miss potatoes.
Yeah.
Of all the foods I gave up the most, it ain't cheese, it ain't pasta, it's actually potatoes. And you know what I realized, Matt? And I'll leave people with this final thought.
Yeah.
How weird is it that if I said to you, what's the blandest food you can think of?
Potato would be up there.
Right. So why is it that there are like 15 different ways to make it delicious?
Because it's a perfect mixing agent, goes with everything.
It's, you know, like French fries, chips, au gratin,
yeah.
scalloped, mashed,
oh.
hash browns. Like, I realized this is what I miss the most.
Yeah.
And it comes from that dull little tuber.
Bob, on the next podcast, I want to find out more foods you're no longer eating. That is what I call a tease.
Yeah, all of them, Matt.
Bob, I've missed you. It's great that the podcast is back. We're back to doing at least once a week with the odd emergency second pod as well. Great to see you, Bob.
Good to see you too, Matt. You look good. You look, for a man of 55,
yeah.
you're really bringing it.
Damn you.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audio Boom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.